Just when things started to look up for the New Orleans Saints, health issues strike again, though it's not all bad news. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credential member of the media, CrescentCitySports.com, USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online, your number one source for all of your sports wagering needs. More odds, lines, and props than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. On today's episode, we're going to build our game plan to take on and potentially topple those Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. We'll take a look at what the New Orleans Saints need to do on the offensive side in terms of variety in order to test that Buccaneers defense. But we're also going to take a look at how they can attack the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense and keep them kind of off kilter a little bit. Keep them off balance is going to be a big key for the New Orleans Saints. Now, speaking of keeping them off balance, that's kind of where we're going to start the show today. Is New Orleans Saints still off balance when it comes to health? And health concerns have been one of the probably top three biggest issues for the New Orleans Saints so far this season. And things don't really look like they're getting better. The New Orleans Saints released their Thursday injury report, which keep in mind, because it's a Monday night game between the Saints and the Bucs, the Thursday injury report was actually the first of the week, as opposed to Thursday usually being the second of the week. So everything's just kind of pushed. Thursday is Wednesday, Friday is Thursday, Saturday is Friday, all of that. So it is early when it comes to the New Orleans Saints and the injury report, practice participation, all of that. But it is concerning nonetheless to see 15 players listed on the injury report just as we started to see this team get a little bit healthier. They got Marcus Davenport back last week. They got Cam Jordan back last week. They got Marshawn Lattimore back at practice over the course of the past week as well. He was still there. But for the Saints, it's not all bad, but it's not great either. Amongst the 15 players that the Saints had listed on their injury report, JT Gray, Juwan Johnson, Malcolm Roach, Bradley Roby, Kentavious Street, Peyton Turner, Kevin White, and PJ Williams all did not participate in practice. Now, I don't want to be boring and just read you an injury report, but it's worth mentioning that this is something that the New Orleans Saints have been dealing with all season long. Two positives that come out of this injury report, believe it or not, though, are that the Saints still have Marshawn Lattimore participating in practice. He was limited on Thursday. And they got linebacker Pete Werner, who's missed the past three games due to injury, back at practice as well. Remains to be seen whether or not either of those two defenders will play this weekend, or this week, next week, I guess, technically, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if the Saints do end up getting either of them back, that, of course, is huge news for them. Caden Ellis has played fantastic, stepping in place of Pete Werner, but you know what Pete Werner brings. He was leading the NFL in solo tackles. He's, you know, a great coverage guy. He's a great pursuit guy. He's great scraping the line of scrimmage, you know, being disruptive in the run game, all of that. So you know the value that a Pete Werner brings. So getting him back up against a Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that is going to want to attack the middle of the field, is going to want to run the ball with Leonard Fournette, who, by the way, was also on the injury report with a hip injury, but did participate in full. So don't be too worried. You're probably going to see Leonard Fournette on Monday Night Football. And then on top of that, you could potentially see Marshawn Lattimore come back. And we've talked about it before, like him showing up for the parent-teacher conference with his son, Mike Evans, over on the other side. Like, very important to see those two go at it again, all right? It's the stuff of legend every time those two guys go at it. And let's be real, like, both of them are elite at their position. So you always want to see the best and the best, iron sharpens iron and all of that. But it is worth considering, too, that Marshawn Lattimore has been out since he had the kidney laceration, the abdominal injury, all the way back in week 5. So coming back against Mike Evans is nice if he's able to do that, but it's going to be interesting to see just how much of Marshawn Lattimore, how healthy he is in that situation. But obviously, he's somebody that has always risen to the occasion, particularly in this challenge, which he sees twice a season as the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers share a division. A couple of other things to keep in mind when you look over, like, kind of health for the Saints. They got Mark Ingram back this week or last week. He was still limited going into this week. Don't be surprised to continue to see that. Same thing for Jarvis Landry. Don't be surprised to see him limited all throughout the week. He's basically been limited ever since he returned to practice ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers game. He'll probably be limited on the injury report for the rest of the season. So don't worry too much about that. Same thing with Ryan Ramczyk. They always rest him the first day of practice, and then he ends up playing over the weekend. So don't be concerned to see him on the injury report. But Rashid Shaheed is a name that popped up with a back injury, limited on Thursday. Why is that important? That's important because Rashid Shaheed's been the guy that has run the third most routes over the course of the past few weeks. And so he has been somebody that has been growing and growing and growing in terms of his utilization in the passing game. Yeah, Kevin White's been on the field. Yeah, Tre'Quan Smith's been on the field. But they've mostly been out there not running routes. They've been out there as blockers. Rashid Shaheed instead has been somebody that's been out there running routes and is starting to get more involved in the game plan. You certainly saw that against the San Francisco 49ers when he was targeted a little bit more, when he, you know, was also given the jet sweep, picked up the first down. So you're seeing sort of the variety of things that he can do, plus what he brings you in the return game. If for any reason he can't go, expect Marquez Callaway to be active this week because he brings you a little bit in the return game. He also brings you quite a bit in terms of, you know, being a blocker, as well as what they have seen over and over again from him as a receiver. So they have the bodies to be able to deal with that if they don't have him, but you're going to miss that electricity that a guy like Rashid Shaheed, who certainly should be getting more and more attention on a weekly basis, that he brings you. That's going to be very, very hard to replace. But you still have rookie sensation Chris Olave to put out there. You still got Alvin Kamara to put out there. So they have the weapons over on the offensive side. We're going to discuss how to kind of vary up and you and lean on sort of the variation of things that the New Orleans Saints can do in order to challenge that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, because there's a key switch that they do depending upon where they are on the field as a defense that the Saints will want to pay a keen amount of attention to. But before we get to that, we'll take a look at what the New Orleans Saints defense needs to do to challenge Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And it all comes down to what it always does: frustrating Tom Brady. Can the New Orleans Saints do it again? We'll discuss how they can as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is awesome. It's daily fantasy, as far as I'm concerned, the way that it should be. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players, choose whether or not they're going to come in at more or less than their Prize Picks projections, and then that's it. With that, takes you about 60 seconds to plug all that in. You can walk away with up to 10 times your entry. You're not battling shadow lineups and, you know, playing against millions of entries or any of that other stuff. It's not even you versus another player. You don't have to worry about any of that. It's just you and your knowledge of the game, your knowledge of the matchups, and your knowledge of your favorite players being put to the test. And so if you believe very strongly that you know what you're doing and that this player is going to come in at more or less than a certain projection, this game is for you. So go and check it out. Prize Picks. You can find it over at prizepicks.com as well as on the Prize Picks app. And first time users are also going to be able to get a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. So you put $100 down, you get $100. You put $50 down, Prize Picks will give you $50. All you have to do is use the promo code Locked On as a first time user. It's that simple. So don't forget, it's prizepicks.com, 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again so much for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. If the New Orleans Saints are going to want to get a win up against Tom Brady and that Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, which does still have a lot of weapons, they haven't been the offense that we're accustomed to see, but they still have a lot of weapons over there. The key is simple. You got to frustrate Tom Brady. One of the best ways to do it is to just throw the kitchen sink at him, especially if you're a team that is playing a little bit of desperation here and you're willing to, you know, exhaust that play sheet. Go ahead and do it. Get under Tom Brady's skin. You know, it ain't hard. You do it all the time. Don't forget, for your second listen today, to go and check out Locked On Sports Today as well. All the big stories from the biggest experts and the local experts, bringing you the local insight that only Locked On can provide. You can find Locked On Sports Today on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Okay. As we look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense up against the New Orleans Saints defense, there are a couple of key matchups that you're going to be watching. First of which I broke down a little bit with David Harrison in the Crossover Thursday episode, which was very fun yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to catch that, make sure you go back and check that out. We had a really good time. We are very self-aware of where we are right now. Let me just say it that way. But one of the big matchups that you're going to be watching is the corners of the New Orleans Saints going up against the receivers of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay has been a team that's dealt with some injuries on the offensive line. It's dealt with some injuries at running back as well, and that might stifle their run game a little bit. So they might want to get going up against this New Orleans Saints passing defense, which still has not put all five of its intended starters out on the field for a single snap so far this season. We could potentially finally see that, but Bradley Roby's dealing. He's in concussion protocol. Marshawn Lattimore is still working his way back. So there's a couple of things to kind of consider in all of that. So if the New Orleans Saints, even if they aren't able to get their you know top five out there, if it's, let's say, Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo, you still feel pretty good about that. They have been awesome so far this season. And Paulson Adebo is somebody who's gotten better and better as he's gotten healthier and healthier. Alante Taylor is somebody that is just good. He's just been awesome so far this season. So seeing them matched up with guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, that's going to be a really, really keen matchup, especially if the Saints can kind of get it together a little bit over on the run-stopping game, which they did a pretty good job last week against the San Francisco 49ers. If they can keep that going and sort of make Tampa one-dimensional, which is going to require them to score points on the offensive side as well, which is what they clearly didn't do last week when they were shut out, forcing Tampa Bay to go to the air, right? To go to the passing game. Then you're able to do those things that you need to do to frustrate Tom Brady. Get him throwing some tablets. Well, I guess you're not going to get him throwing tablets anymore because the NFL sent out a notice after the last Saints and Bucks game about like, hey, we need you to stop doing that, basically. Since it's the entire NFL, but you know who that was about. But anyway, you want to get under his skin. And that's something that has always worked against Tom Brady. And a couple of different ways to do that are going to be by confusing not him. You're confusing his offensive line. And the offensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like I mentioned, is dealing with some injuries. Tristan Wirfs, that was tougher to say than it should have been, dealt with an injury at the end of or toward the end of last week's game. Luke Gadecki still dealing with injury as well. Nick Leverett still dealing with injury as well, although he practiced in full. So the Tampa Bay offensive line has been riddled with injuries all season, and it's not slowing down for them. Going into this Week 12 matchup, they're still dealing with those injuries. So if you're able to confuse that offensive line, that ends up frustrating Tom Brady because then he gets frustrated with his offensive line. Then he starts yelling and doing all of the things that he does, the theatrics. And when all that happens, then all of a sudden you're able to pin your ears back and start to take advantage of the mental mistakes that he does have the capacity to make. Like Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, but he is not immune to making mistakes. He is not impervious in that way. But in order for you to force him to make those mistakes, you have to get him out of that elite mindset that he has. So that's why frustration is so important. The other way to frustrate him is going to come down to whoever those two cornerbacks are for the New Orleans Saints. Can you take away the options or limit the options in the passing game so that he doesn't feel like he has anywhere to go? Then you end up creating sort of the condensed offense that he doesn't want to run. And then you pair that with the way that Todd Bowles has kind of been steering some of these games, not as play caller, because that's kind of in Byron Leftwich's court, but those two guys have sort of been known to kind of limit the offense a little bit because of the defensive trust that they have on this team. And that defense has been playing really well, though also now dealing with injuries to guys like Sean Murphy Bunting and Antoine Winfield and all these others. So for the Saints, if you want to frustrate, or rather, if you want to challenge this Bucs offense, you have to frustrate Tom Brady. And the Saints have done such a good job at that. Dennis Allen has done such a good job at that over the years. You'd love to see that continuing here in this matchup between the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here on Monday Night Football. The next piece that you're looking at is the second level for the Saints. DeMario Davis and Pete Werner, or DeMario Davis and Caden Ellis. Either way, they have to be sound, very, very sound. They have to help with limiting the run game, taking that away, forcing the Buccaneers to be one-dimensional, but then also being able to be premier in coverage over the middle of the field, because that's the first place that Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to go when they do need to go to the air game. Now, Cameron Brate's dealing with injury, but you still have some talented pass catchers at tight end in Tampa that they'll continue to lean on. And they have talented slot receivers that they'll continue to lean on as well. Russell Gage also dealing with injury. These two teams, my goodness. Slotty Miller, of course, like these guys that are, you know, kind of, how do I say this? I don't want to say that they're elite when it comes to slot, but they're incredibly effective when it comes to operating out of the slot. And a part of that is their short area quickness and their ability to be able to take advantage of that sort of condensed nature of the middle of the field. They've done a phenomenal job with that year in and year out, play in and play out. So for the Saints, that second level play also becomes very, very important. Frustrate Tom Brady by confusing his offensive line and giving his offensive line fits. Frustrate Tom Brady by taking away the weapons on the outside. But none of that matters if you can't limit the run game and if you can't take away the middle of the field. That's why DeMario Davis and Pete Werner, or DeMario Davis and Caden Ellis, depending upon the health at the second level, ends up becoming so incredibly important to challenging and limiting that Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. Coming up next, New Orleans Saints need to have a variety, need to have a very varied attack on offense in order to take advantage of the Bucs defense. And I can tell you exactly the way that they can do that based strictly on field position. So we're going to break that down as we continue on with today's and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Did you know that Audible now has and is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that you're going to love? I've told you about Ryan Khalil's podcast. Now let me tell you about Think Like a Champion, because that is now available wherever you get your podcast. Things Like a Champion is a brand new podcast from Russell Wilson and Audible. I know Russell Wilson's been struggling so far this season, but you're going to want to hear this because he co-hosts with Harry Wilson and the late Trevor Mowat as well, digging into how high performance athletes, as well as artists, leaders, all these guys push boundaries with their potential. Each episode features an interview with Olympic medalists, NFL stars, business leaders. It's really, really cool. So if you're somebody that is just like looking at how to get better in terms of leadership, and you look at things through a sports lens, this is perfect for you. Make sure you go and check it out. It's available for free on Audible or wherever you get your podcast. Head over to Locked On Presents as well for a sneak peek at Think Like a Champion, or catch the full series available wherever you get your podcast. Available everywhere. Now, Audible, get in the game. Get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with a look at how the New Orleans Saints offense can attack that Tampa Bay defense. It's a signature, it really is, of the Todd Bowles defense to A, blitz a ton, right? They love to bring pressure. They want to bring the house. They want to frustrate the quarterback. They want to confuse the quarterback. That doesn't bode well for Andy Dalton. Doesn't bode well already because it's a primetime game, but it certainly doesn't bode well because he has not handled pressure extremely well so far this season. But if he is able to, one of the things that Tampa Bay does that is a very, it's not unheard of, it's not super curious, but it's of interest to you, is that between like the 6 and 31 yard line, right, when the New Orleans Saints are starting their drives, kind of field positioning is what you're looking at there. It's what they literally call it, because you have a lot of the field left to go. It's before you get into kind of that, you know, shot zone of the 40 yard line and everything. They will play a lot of what are called middle of close, and by they, I mean the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, sorry. Will play a lot of what are called middle of field closed defense. So cover one, single high safety over the top, cover three with a deep safety in the middle, but then two deep corners taking up the other thirds. So with those, you're able to deploy things like, you know, some man-beating concepts like crossing routes and things like that. You can partner that with your cover three concepts like levels that end up challenging, you know, short, intermediate, and deep. And then you're just looking at the depth of the kind of key defender there, so that you know where to go. So there's a lot of those things that they're accustomed to, and also attacking the seams, which is something that the Saints are very, you know, well versed in. Now, Juwan Johnson missed practice on Thursday. He's dealing with an injury. He's one of those big time seam attackers for the New Orleans Saints. So your fingers are crossed that he's healthy and ready to go. But we've seen Adam Trautman do that as well, and we've seen others do it too. I mean, Taysom could be one of those guys as well. Although I would love to see Taysom get more mixed in at quarterback again this week, kind of like they did against the Los Angeles Rams. Like, kind of the bottom line here, y'all, is like the Saints need to just go out there and throw the kitchen sink out there, work their way through that play sheet, high variety, high octane, just like lay it all out on the field. That's really what I would love to see from the Saints. I don't know if they get that aggressive, though. We haven't really seen that kind of aggression from this team consistently, but they did it 2 weeks ago. Maybe they'll do it again now. But the other thing that they'll do is, so you have sort of those middle of field close looks, a lot of cover three, around the 35% margin for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So again, cover three is with the three deep defenders with the middle of the field safety, and then the other thirds taken up by corners that kind of bail out right at the snap. So we talked about the things that beat that. But as you get closer to midfield and beyond midfield, Todd Bowles tends to shift to middle of field open concepts. That means the middle of the field is open, and so you have two safeties usually back there. So that's a cover two look, which could be a man or a zone look. or it's a cover four look to where the field is divided in quarters with two deep safeties and two bailing defenders from the usually from the cornerback position. Now there's variations to all this. There's inverts, there's robbers, there's all of these other things that robber goes more to middle of field close, but there are a bunch of different variations of all of this. But what the Saints have to do is match that variation, right? If they can come out with a variety of attacks, and that's getting Taysom Hill involved at quarterback, sometimes throwing the ball, sometimes rushing, sometimes handing it off, right? Doing all three of the things with him, right? But then also getting him involved in the passing, it would be nice. But then you're also looking at being able to attack this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, whose middle of the defense might be a little weakened depending upon the injury to Vita Vea and how that potentially works to the Saints' advantage, who would love to get their run game going again. That ends up being, you know, a part of it as well. So you get that run game going, all of a sudden those linebackers start to cheat up, then you're not getting the depth that you need in those cover two situations. And so you're able to attack like kind of the middle of the field over the top of the, there's a word for it, over the top of the box, basically, the kind of hole area. The other place you could look is taking advantage of the cover two hole situations where if you have a safety that gets a little bit like into the eye candy, which is why, you know, we broke down on Wednesday how the Saints can use motion to benefit their run game. They can use it to benefit their pass game as well. You get those safeties locked in with the eye candy in the back, you challenge their eye discipline, and then all of a sudden you get a, you know, Chris Olave that speeds past his first level defender, and then bam, you have a hole where you can hit him in between the corner and the safety. So there's all of these kind of different things. But the other piece is something that we've seen the New Orleans Saints and with Andy Dalton at the helm take advantage of before, is when you get into those that shot territory of, you know, the your own 40 up to, you know, the red zone, the middle of the field open defenses mean you could take advantage of some of those post routes and post patterns that you've seen Chris Olave run to perfection. I talked about Rashid Shaheed running a route that was so beautiful the other day that I'd holler at it. Like, if you see more of that coming from this New Orleans Saints D offense, the variation of how they're deploying these players, then all of a sudden that defense that is high variance itself, you increase their amount for a misstep. You increase their opportunities for missteps, because they're constantly changing. And if you're constantly changing, you're eventually going to hit what you're looking for. So it's not a situation to where you're looking to go deep every single play. That's what ran into a lot of trouble with Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back, or excuse me, in the New Orleans Saints back in week two against the Bucs, was that everything was deep. Chris Olave ran 21 or 22 routes beyond 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's more than he's run since then and more than he had run in the game before that as well. And then you look at Chris Olave, by the way, who only needs to average about 63 and a half yards to break the rookie receiving record. He'll have played one more game if he plays every single game this season than Michael Thomas did, who currently holds that rookie receiving record at just over 1,100 yards. But if you take into consideration that he missed the game and that the Seahawks game he left early, things kind of balance out. But for the Saints, if they're able to take advantage of all the different ways that they deploy these players and utilize these skill sets and do so aggressively, then it puts them in an opportunity to take advantage of an already aggressive Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that is constantly changing and is constantly shifting depending upon the field position that they're defending. And so you have the ability to be able to time something just right based on your ability to, and this is something the Saints haven't been able to do very well over the course of the past 4 weeks, to string together drives. Let me rephrase that. They've struggled to do that in three of the last 4 weeks. Against Los Angeles Rams, they strung together drives pretty well. They didn't convert a lot of third downs, but they picked up a lot of additional first downs on first and second down. So they continued to extend drives. They'll need to do that against this Tampa Bay defense. Show them everything that you've got, and then build tendencies that you can then take advantage of later on in the game. That's what the New Orleans Saints are going to have to do. Throw the kitchen sink out. Don't play conservative. Don't try to protect anything. You got five games left and you're barely alive within your division. Go out there, and even if you lose, be fun. Throw it all out on the field. And like, if that ends up meaning that you end up throwing interceptions, if you're taking those shots and you're being aggressive, good on you. Good on you for not laying it all down and walking away, right? So I look for this game to be a little bit closer than maybe people expect. I think it's going to be a defensive heavy game. The Saints defense performed so incredibly well last week. And of course, it was overshadowed by the fact that they got shut out for the first time in 332 games, understandably. But that defense performed so, so well last week against what I think is a better offense in the San Francisco 49ers. And this is one that they're familiar with. And that's kind of the nice bonus to the final five games, is that they're all three familiar opponents. You've got three division opponents in the last five games. So you win this game, you find a way to do it, right? If you can, and you find a way to do it. Then all of a sudden, the tone has changed for the final four games of the season, and you get a bye week. So this is a perfect time for the Saints to come out of this game healthy, hopefully, have an extra week to get healthy, and then be ready to host a, you know, very injured Atlanta Falcons team at home in the Dome. And once you get a win, if you can, here in week 12 against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, everything changes in terms of the outlook of your season. But we can't look at that right now. And the Saints should be looking at that right now. They should be focused on what they need to do to get a win. And these are some ideas that might help get them there. Coming up on Monday, have a good weekend. Coming up on Monday, we're going to take another look at this game, dig a little bit deeper as well into some of the things that we're looking for. I'm going to be on the road over the course of this week. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm not at home right now. I'm in Utah for our Locked On retreat, traveling to Tampa tomorrow. And then I'll be back and then I'll be, you know, do my next show from Tampa. So I might get a little bit of insight in terms of what I can bring you there. So I appreciate y'all, as always, for making me a part of your day. And of course, for making me your first listen. For your second listen, go and check out Locked On Sports today, bringing you everything you need to know around the crazy world of sports in about 20 to 25 minutes with the local insight from the Locked On local experts, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. I appreciate you, as always, making me a part of your day, a part of your routine, for saying yes to me and the show. As always, if you see me, say hi. If you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints, in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.